frozen Eskimo. Frozen wind began to blow under my boot and around my toe. Frost had bit the ground below. Was 100 degrees below zero. And my mama cried, Nanook, 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 no, no. Save your money, don't go to the show. And I turned around and I said, ho, ho. And the northern lights commenced to glow. And she looked at me with a tear in her eye and she said, watch out where the huskies go and don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go and don't you eat that yellow snow. Well, right about that time, people, a fur trapper who was strictly from commercial had the unmitigated audacity to jump up from behind my igloo. And he started in the whipping on my favorite baby seal with a lead-filled snowshoe. I said, with a lead. Lead-filled snowshoe, peek-a-boo, with a lead, with a lead-filled, with a lead-filled snowshoe, and he said peek-a-boo. He jumped up behind my igloo and he said peek-a-boo, lead-filled snowshoe, right on, right upside the head of my favorite baby seal. He said peek-a-boo, lead-filled snowshoe, head of my nose, head of the fan. You know, that got me just about as evil as an Eskimo boy can be. As an Eskimo boy can be. So I reached down with my patented Nanook of the North whale blubber mitten, and I scooped down and I reached down and I bent down and I gathered up a generous mitten full of the deadly
yellow snow.
The deadly yellow snow from right there where the huskies go. And then, in a fit of anger, I pounced. And I pounced again. I jumped up and down on the chest of the
I injured the fur trapper.
And then I took my mitten with the deadly yellow snow crystals in it, and I proceeded to rub it all into his beady little eyes with a vigorous circular motion hitherto unknown to Sydney, but destined to take the place of the mud shark in your mythology. Here it is, hey! Really cheap, isn't it? God damn, that's cheap. That's so cheap, we're gonna do it again. That's enough. Okay. Well, by that time, the extract of the northern dog had induced in the fur trapper a terrible case of temporary snow blindness. And he turned around and he said, I can't see.
I can't see temporarily.
I can't see.
I can't see temporarily.
something good on TV. And I can't see. He took a dog do snow cone and stuffed it in my right eye. And he took a dog do snow cone and stuffed it in my other eye. And the husky wee wee, I mean the doggy wee wee, has blinded me temporarily. And oh Lord, I can't see. Well, here we have a deflected fur trapper, folks, wandering around in the middle of the desolate northern wasteland. Can't tell where he's going. And he wants to get home in time to watch something good on TV. Well, he doesn't know it, but he's got a lot of time. But he, maybe there's something that he likes. He has to fix up his eyes before he can watch the television, so scratches underneath of his parka, tries to figure out what he's gonna do, and remembers an ancient Eskimo legend where it is written on the little things that they write it on, whatever they are, that if anything bad ever happens to your eyes as the result of physical combat with anybody named Nanook, and if, therefore, he rubs some dog poo crystals in your eye and you have problems, it actually says this, folks, that the only way that you can fix it up is you gotta go trudging across the tundra, mile after mile, all the way down to the Columbia River Delta. It's really funky down there, I'm telling you. And he's gotta go down to find the parish of St. Alfonso. St. Alfonso is the patron saint of the smelt fishermen of Portuguese extraction. And he's gotta bust into the pantry at St. Alfonso's parish, and he's gotta locate a mysterious elixir disguised as a box of margarine. And his instructions are to rub it on his deflicted eyes until some sort of miraculous cure will take place. In the next episode, we follow the fur trapper as he trudges across the tundra direct to St. Alfonso's parish. And it goes something like this. Hoopla! Well, here we are at St. Alfonso's pancake breakfast, where I stole the margarine and wheedled on the bingo cards in lieu of the latrine. I saw a handsome parish lady make her entrance like a queen. Why, she was totally chenille and her old man was a marine. As she abused the sausage patty and said, why don't you treat me mean?
Hurt me, hurt me.
Where I stole, where I stole, woo, the margarine. Yeah, I made it down to St. Alfonso's parish, I did. Made it into the pantry down there. I finally discovered what I was looking for. I groped my way past the peas, and I groped my way past the asparagus, and I groped my way past the cauliflower. Groped my way, and I groped my way. I don't mind groping my way, and I groped my way and I found the margarine. There it was. There was a little left over from the pancake breakfast. Reached in and pulled out a lump of the stuff. Then I rubbed it on my right hand eye. And I took it and I rubbed it on my left hand eye. Started feeling a little bit better, and I contemplated on the mystery and the majesty of the margarine. I said to myself, the M of margarine must, under these circumstances, symbolize
marsupial.
And the A, under these circumstances, must symbolize the constellation of Andromeda. And the R, under these circumstances, must constitute ridiculous, which is what these circumstances actually are. And then there's a hyphen, M-A-R. Don't lose the continuity, folks. There's a M-A-R hyphen. And as I said last night, and I'll say it again because I liked it, the first hyphen in margarine could be used for erotic gratification by a very desperate stenographer. M-A-R hyphen J. J. What's a J tonight? J is for Jesus, and we all know he loves you. Well, some of you people will go for that, some of you won't. What's the difference? So I throw it in there. Then there's a U. That U is for everybody who believes what the J stood for. And also, we have a subordinate U for the rest of you who go, huh? And then there's an H, which stands for, or used to, about 2 years ago, stand for homunculus. And then there's another hyphen, M-A-R hyphen, J-U-H hyphen. The second hyphen tonight, ladies and gentlemen, could be used. Could be used. It could be used on you if you bent right over. And then, if you were very short, of course, and sensitive, M-A-R hyphen J-U-H hyphen R, there's another R. This R will stand for Rebus, which is a puzzle with pictures in it. Then there's an E, it's a very long, obnoxious E to the nth degree. And then there's an N, which is the N of the E with the nth degree, and then there's a tiny weenie dwindling off little E on the end of the thing. By the time I'd finished spelling margarine correctly, including two hyphens, my eyes felt a lot better, and I was ready for the next part of the song.